don't have time to pray. Amen. But now we have no excuse. Amen. We have no excuse. Amen. Now we have all the time to pray. Amen. So this morning the Lord has put it on my heart. Amen. To preach this word and to teach this word, to make me a house of prayer. I believe that's what God wants to do during this time. Amen. Amen. He wants us to go ahead and become a house of prayer. Amen. He wants us to become a house of prayer. Amen. And I want to share this word with you. And I'm going to come out of this morning, out of my text. The text this morning is Mark 11, chapter 12, verse 21. And it's a famous word. Amen. Famous scripture. I want to read you this verse here this morning. Mark 11, chapter 12, verse 21. It says, "The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, 'May no one ever eat fruit from you again.' And his disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, 'Is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you have made it into a den of robbers.' The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning, as they remembered, they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'look, the fig tree you cursed has withered.'" Father, bless the reading of your word to our hearts this morning. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So this morning I want to talk to you about prayer. Make me a house of prayer. You know, when you think about prayer, the Lord impressed this on my spirit this morning as I prayed, that prayer is so important because for us as individuals living in this world, there's a lot of negativity. There's a lot of negativity, and negativity has a tendency to pull you down. Negativity is almost like gravity, the law of gravity. And gravity, we know that gravity is what pulls us down. Gravity is what holds us down and pulls us down to the ground. That's how, there's so many things in this world, you know, that do that. They pull us down. So many times, distractions pull us down. They pull us down. Distractions, negativity, they pull us down. And so, you know, in order for us not to be pulled down by all the negativity of this world, we have to learn to fly like birds.
Yes.
And as Christians, what helps us to fly is prayer. I want you to know that when you engage in prayer, it causes you to rise above all distractions.
Come on. Amen.
Amen.
It causes us to rise above all negativity.
Amen. Yes.
It causes us to rise above everything in this world, even above this crisis.
Come on now.
There's so many negative news coming out. And yeah, it may be mixed in. Let me tell you something. Negativity can be mixed in with truth. It's just like the devil whenever he came and he tempted Jesus. I want you to know, not only was he lying, but he was being negative.
That's right.
Huh? The devil not only lies, but he's a master at lying and being negative. Mm-hmm. Come on, somebody. The devil's lies is always mixed in with negativity. This is why in the Garden of Eden, he told Eve, you know, God, you know, did God really say that you couldn't, you know, touch or eat the fruit? And he just says that because he knows that when you eat of it, you're going to be like him. That's negativity right there. That's speaking negative about God. Same thing with Jesus. The enemy came in to be negative. But listen, when you pray, it causes you to soar above all the negativity of this world. It causes you to soar above all the distractions
yes.
of this world. Come on, somebody. How many know we can't be distracted?
Yeah.
Huh? We can't be full of negativity.
Amen.
We got to be focused on the word. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Even if you're not careful, you know, you can allow all the comments and your phone distracts you while you're hearing this message.
Wow.
Amen. It's not a time to be taking a selfie while you're in online church.
Come on.
Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Huh? It's not a time. It's time to be focused on the word.
Amen.
Amen. It's time to be focused on the word of God.
That's right.
Amen. This morning, I want to talk to you about becoming a house of prayer.
Amen.
Jesus said his house shall be called a house of prayer. Now, is he talking about the church? Question mark. Is he talking about the church? Go ahead and answer that in the comments
good.
Without being distracted. Mm-hmm. Right? Definitely he's talking about the church.
Mm.
He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. He is talking about the church. Is he talking about the building?
No.
Question mark. Mm. Go ahead and answer that in the comments. I'll give you the answer. No, he's not talking about the building. Yes, we have a building at 630 West Main Street in Grand Prairie. But when Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, he's not just talking about the building. He's talking about the church. Because we are the church.
Yes.
We are the church. The people, those of you that are watching, you are the church.
Amen.
So when he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, he was prophetically speaking about us, the people, the real church.
Come on.
I said, we're the real church.
Yes.
He wants us to be a praying people.
Yes.
That's what God wants. When Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, he was talking about his church, his people, the iglesia, the body of Christ. He wanted us as the people to be a praying people. And the sad fact about it, many times before this quarantine, we were so busy we didn't have time to pray. And I hope that right now that you have time to pray, that you still don't get so busy that you say, oh, I don't got time to pray.
Come on.
Acts 7:48 says, however, the Most High, meaning God, this is Acts 7:48, however, the Most High doesn't live in temples made by human hands. Huh? That's a powerful verse. God is saying, listen, I don't live in a building that you can make with the human hand. Huh? I don't live in there. God is saying, I make my abode, I make my presence made to you. I live in the body of Christ, in the people of God. That's where he lives. Where does the Holy Spirit live in? He lives inside of us. We are his house.
Right.
He lives and works through us. Mm-hmm. And prayer is what activates the life of Christ in us.
Mm.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
We're his house. He lives in us. He works through us. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are the body of Christ. And he lives and he works and he operates in and through us. As we pray, when we pray, listen, this is what happens when we pray. When we pray, we activate the life of Jesus inside of us. Jesus is inside of us.
That's right.
But it's only until we pray that Jesus is activated.
Come on.
See, God wants us to make him a house of prayer through prayer. God wants us to make him a house of prayer. Do you want to make him a house of prayer? You can make him a house of prayer. You know how? Through prayer.
Yes, yes.
Because he lives inside of you. And if this body, this shell, if this is a shell, and if he lives inside of us, and your soul's in there also, because let me say, this outer body is just a shell. We all come in different sizes. Big, small, thin. Come on, somebody. Huh? This is just a shell, an outward shell. Huh? When we pass away, this shell is just going to be, it's going to stay behind.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to stay behind. But I want you to know, inside of us is our soul, our spirit.
Yeah.
But not only that, everybody has a soul. An evil person has a soul. A Christian has a soul. Animals don't have souls. I know, you're going to get mad at me, but your little cute dog, cat don't have a soul.
Hello.
Amen. It's biblical. Look at us.
That's true.
But people have souls. Listen, a soul without Christ is lost.
That's right.
A soul without Christ is lost. But when Jesus enters us, enters our life, all of a sudden our soul is united to Christ. And now it's our responsibility as we begin to learn about being a Christian, as we begin to learn the Word of God, as we begin to learn these things, it's up to us whether we want to make Him a house of prayer. He wants us to be a house of prayer, but it's up to us to make Him a house of prayer.
Yes, yes.
And we only do that through praying.
Mm,
amen.
Yes, yes.
Through praying. So, He didn't say, make me a preaching house. He didn't say, make me a teaching house. He didn't even say, make me a miracle house. But He said, make me a house of prayer. My house shall be a house of prayer. He didn't say, my house shall be a house of preaching. My house shall be a house of teaching. My house shall be a house of miracles. No, He said, make my house shall be called a house of prayer.
Yes.
Huh? Now, when there's prayer in His people, there will be miracles in His people.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to know that preaching, teaching, and miracles are a byproduct of prayer. Matter of fact, I'm afraid of a preaching that it did not come from prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Have I preached a message? Probably have preached a message that did not come from prayer. Huh? It's not easy to get a message from the Lord. But let me tell you something. When you pray,
yes, yes, yes.
Prayer produces miracles.
Mm.
Prayer produces preachings and rhema words.
Yes,
that's what prayer does.
Yes, yes.
So this morning, I want to give you four reasons why we must become a house of prayer. Number one, because prayer brings fruitfulness.
That's right.
Fruitfulness. See, the true fruit of the Spirit comes out of prayer. In the book of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, the Bible lines out what is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if you don't know what the fruit of the Spirit is, you're going to learn here this morning what the fruit of the Spirit is.
Amen.
Galatians is going to teach us what the fruit of the Spirit
yes.
is.
Yes.
And once you learn what the fruit of the Spirit is, you're going to say, oh man, I need that. It's like when you have fruit in your house, you have them apples and oranges and grapes and strawberries and bananas and watermelon and melon, right? I hope I'm making your mouth water right now. Huh? Just saying it makes my mouth water. Watermelon, right? Listen, the fruits of the Spirit should make your spirit water.
Yes.
In other words, it should make you crave these things. You begin
yes.
to crave. What does it say? Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love.
Mm.
Come on. I know all you singles want love.
Wow.
You're always posting about it. Come on, somebody. I can't wait till I find love.
My God.
I can't wait till the Lord brings me my rib.
Wow.
Come on, somebody. Huh? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Huh? But that's not the type of love it's talking about. It's talking about real love, godly
yes.
love.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Oh, we want joy. Come on, nobody wants to be
yes.
sad.
Come on.
Nobody wants to be depressed.
Right.
We want joy. Doesn't this fruit of the Spirit sound good?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
To have love, to have joy without smoking a joint, to have joy without drinking
yes.
a beer,
right.
to have joy without chugging down a bottle or a shot.
Come on.
Joy, come on, somebody. Sometimes people can misconstrue joy and they think that joy is only when you're feeling good because you drank
wow.
some alcohol.
Wow.
And you're there, you know, you're buzzed and you're there and you're laughing and you're giggling. You're doing all that stuff, but you're also making a foolio of yourself.
Whoa.
You're also making a fool of yourself. You're falling all over the place. You're
wow.
doing, you're taking your shirt off of it in front of everybody.
Oh, man.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Huh?
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy,
mm.
peace. Come on,
yes.
somebody. Peace. Oh, we can all use some peace.
Amen.
Some of you can use some peace in your home right now.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Some of you couples, you can use you can use peace in your marriage. Right. There is no peace in the marriage. You're always arguing. You thought you used to argue before the quarantine.
Mm. Wow.
Now you're stuck in the same house together. Come on, somebody. And tempers are flaring, causing you to break social distancing rules. Hello, somebody. Huh? Peace. You need peace in your marriage. You need peace. You need peace with your children. Your children are driving you crazy, driving you nuts right now. The people you live with are driving you. You need peace in your life.
Yes, amen.
The news is robbing your peace. CNN and Fox News and all these news, MSNBC, I don't know what news you watch there. All, you don't hear peace. You just hear pandemic.
Yeah.
Come on now. The fruit of the Spirit is peace, love, joy, peace. Then it goes into some of the hard ones, forbearance. Forbearance is like patience almost a little bit. Forbearance. How many know we need patience?
Yeah.
We need patience in our life. We need to be patient with one another. Come on, somebody.
Right.
Now listen, you know, they say that don't pray for patience because the Lord will send you trials. Right? That's why they say don't pray for patience because the Lord sent a trial. But the thing is that we all need patience.
Right, hello. Right, yes.
We all need patience. We all need some patience. And we all want to, you know, we get to a threshing hold. We get like to a place where it's like we're going to be pushed over the line. And when we do, the Lord reminds us you need to be patient with Him. You need to be patient with her. You need to be patient in this situation.
Yeah.
Don't tell them like it is. Don't give them a piece of your mind.
Oh,
bite
wow.
your tongue.
Ooh,
that is called patience, my friend. But nevertheless, in the midst of biting your tongue, they continue to poke that button.
Wow,
listen,
wow.
And as you continue to bite your tongue, you're learning patience.
Hello.
Yes, come on.
Forbearance.
Mm.
Patience. That's a fruit we need, because this is why we get into fights, because our patience runs out.
Hello.
You're like, that's it, I'm giving them a piece of my mind.
Oh.
That's it, I've had enough of this at my job. Come on. I've had enough of my supervisor.
Ooh.
I've had enough of my coworker. I had enough of my wife, my
Ooh.
Husband. I had enough of that
wow.
kid. Patience.
Huh?
Patience will keep us away from a lot of train wrecks, from a lot of fights, from a lot of battles.
That's right.
And then it says kindness is the next one. Kindness. Oh, we need to be kind.
Yeah.
Before, listen, and those of you that are watching, maybe new to Christ or new to hearing the preaching, listen, you may say, well, man, you know, I need to be more kind. I wasn't a kind person when I didn't have Jesus in my life. Come on, sometimes I'm still not a kind person as a Christian.
Hmm.
Oh, come on now.
Huh?
Be real. Shame the devil. Be real. Sometimes, listen, Christians can sometimes be some of the most rudest people.
Wow.
Rude. Just rude, just no type of kindness. We need to be kind. The Bible says tender-hearted and kind. And then also the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. I'm going to move along. Faithfulness. Oh, we want people. We want a faithful man of God. We want a faithful woman of God, the single people know. Listen, but in order for you to get somebody faithful, you need to learn to be faithful.
Ooh.
You need to learn to be faithful first to God. You need to learn to be faithful first to church. You need to learn to be faithful first to your tithe. Faithful. And you can't say you're faithful and loyal. You just got to prove it.
Faithful.
Come on, somebody.
Faithful.
Huh? You got to prove your faithfulness. You got to prove your faithfulness. Then gentleness. You got to be gentle.
Yes.
And self-control. That we talked about that. Self-control is not losing control, right?
Right.
Against such thing, there is no law. Galatians. Let me tell you something. Prayer brings the fruit of the Spirit. Prayer will bring these things into your life. Prayer will bring love into your life. Prayer will bring joy into your life.
Right.
Prayer will
right.
bring peace into your life.
Right.
Prayer will bring forbearance, patience into your life.
Right.
Prayer will bring kindness and goodness
oh.
and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control.
Yes.
That's what prayer will do.
Ooh.
So you want to know how Jesus changes your life? He changes you through the avenue of prayer. See, because when you pray, it invites His power to come and touch your life, and you become a whole different type of person.
Yeah.
I'm not the same person I was 20 years ago. ago. I've been serving God for 20 years now. I got saved when I was 20. I am 40 there. Now you know my age. But listen, you know what it was before? I was a gang member, a drug addict, a drug dealer. I would rob people. I would fight with people. I was all messed up. But I'm a changed man today. Maybe I'm not where I should be, but I thank God I'm not where I used to be. And I credit it to Jesus. I credit it to praying to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, a prayerless Christian, a Christian that doesn't pray, cannot bring forth the fruit that Christ is looking for. In the scripture that we read, in the scripture we read in the book of Mark chapter 11, it says that Jesus and his disciples were walking to Jerusalem, and on their way, Jesus and the disciples was hungry, and in the distance, Jesus seen a fig tree, and as he seen that fig tree, his stomach probably started to growl, and he says, oh man, when I get to that fig tree, I'm going to pluck me a fig, and I'm going to eat on that fig, and that fig's going to fill my belly, and I'm going to be satisfied. But when he got to the fig tree, the Bible says that he did not find no figs on it. It was empty. It was fruitless.
Ooh,
a prayerless Christian cannot bring forth the fruit that Jesus is looking for. Jesus is looking for fruit inside of you. He's looking for fruit inside of you, man of God, woman of God.
Come on, amen.
But will he find it? And the Bible says that Jesus, when he didn't find no fruit on that fig tree, he cursed it. See, Christians that do not bear fruit live cursed lives. Jesus cursed the fig tree because it had no fruit. In John chapter 15, verse 1 through 2, the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit.
Wow.
Yes. Listen, don't get cut off. Don't get cut off. Come on, somebody. You wonder why people backslide. You wonder why people leave the church sometimes. Maybe it was because they stopped bearing fruit. They didn't bear fruits. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Mm. Listen, you're going to get cut either which way. But the difference is this, is getting cut off or getting cut.
Wow.
There's a difference. Yeah. Some will get cut off, some will just get cut. Listen, I've been cut a lot of times by the Holy Spirit. You know what it is when you get cut? When the Word of God convicts you. When something just that hurt, that hit me right there. Ooh, you got me there, Pastor. No, it wasn't Pastor. It was the Holy Spirit. It is the Word of God. It was the rhema Word of God spoken for appropriate time like this, that God knew that you were going to be sitting there watching this live feed. And God knows where you're at in your prayer life. God knows where you're at in your fruitfulness life. Bible says that he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful.
Amen.
So listen, when God is cutting you and you're bearing fruit, sometimes God has to cut you as a Christian so you can bear more fruits.
Wow.
Come on.
Wow.
He comes and he sees fruit in your life. He sees love. He sees joy. He sees peace. He sees goodness. He sees faithfulness. He sees forbearance. He sees fruit in your life. But he says, you know what? I see this person can be even more fruitful. But this is holding him back. His ego's holding his back. His pride is holding him back. His know-it-all spirit is holding him back. This is holding him back. So let me cut this. Let me show him that he don't know it all. Let me show her that she doesn't know it all. Let me cut away right here. And when I cut this away, it's going to make room for new growth.
Yes. Yes.
Listen, I believe that during this season, you know, during this quarantine, God is just making room for new growth.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
That's what maybe some things were cut off. Maybe you were laid off from your job. It's all right because God is getting ready for new growth.
Yes.
Huh? He's getting ready to bless you with a better job.
Come on.
With the job where it's not going to pull you away from church and the house of God and the things of God. The Lord is speaking to this morning.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Huh? See, a fruitful Christian is a delight to Jesus. Unfruitfulness is a frustration to Jesus. You get that? Jesus walked up to the fig tree, and listen, you know, I mean, I can't, there's not a lot of times I see my Jesus mad. But here we see two times he got mad. Just in the portion, in Mark 11, 12 to 21, the verses I opened up with, twice we see my Savior, my Savior kind of getting upset. And you know what it was? It was because of no fruit and no prayer.
Come on. Huh? That's
right. And Jesus got frustrated with this fig tree. And he got frustrated with the temple. He got frustrated. Listen, a fruitful Christian will be a joy to Jesus. Don't you want to be a joy to Jesus?
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I want to please God.
Yes.
I can care less about pleasing man. I don't want to be a man pleaser. I want God to take every bit inside of me that wants to be a man pleaser out.
Come on.
Wow.
I want to please Jesus. I want to please my Lord and my Savior. I preach for the audience of one. Yeah. Literally right now. The camera. No, I'm just kidding. Oh. I got an audience here. But I appreciate it for the audience of Jesus.
Yes.
I want Jesus to be proud of me. Even though many times I preach messages, nobody walks up to me and says, man, that was a great man. Maybe two or three of you. But you know what? I care. I want God to say, well
yes.
done and good and
yes.
faithful servant.
Yes.
Huh? I want God to say that. A fruitful Christian is a delight to Jesus, but unfruitfulness is a frustration to Jesus.
Wow.
I don't want to be a cause of frustration to my God. Come on, somebody. Huh? I want to be blessing to my Lord.
Yes.
See, prayer brings fruitfulness. The fruit of the Spirit. That's what prayer brings. It brings the fruit of the Spirit. Why does it do this? You know why? Because it drives out bad fruit. It drives out bad fruits. That's
yes.
what prayer does. Prayer drives out anger. Prayer
yes.
drives
yes.
out jealousy.
Yes.
It drives it out by showing you. It shows,
yes.
look, you're going through yes. because, look, you're jealous. You're frustrated. And this is why you're jealous and frustrated. You're going
oh,
through.
Wow.
It's not about them. It's about you. You got issues. You let
yes.
that bother you. It's in you.
Yes.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Yes.
Huh?
Come on.
Yeah.
Prayer drives out bad fruits.
Yeah.
Notice that when Jesus showed up to the temple, you know, Jesus, when he showed up to the temple, he seen the temple and it had no prayer going on. People were selling doves and selling sheep and selling lambs and selling ox, you know, to people so that they can take it and go offer it to the Lord and offer it as a burnt offering, because thousands of thousands of people would go to the temple during this time to offer up a burnt offering, and thousands of people would come from hundreds, if not thousands of miles away, and they would travel to Jerusalem to offer up a sacrifice and to offer up an offering. But it was too hard for them to bring an ox or a sheep from their own ranch and from their own house because they lived too far. To bring that ox all the way from their own house was too much work. So what they did is when they got to Jerusalem, to buy an ox and a sheep there. And the people there took advantage of that, and they were making all kinds of profit from that circumstance.
Wow.
And all he's seen was money exchanging going on, but he didn't see no prayer.
Wow.
He didn't see prayer. What did Jesus do? Jesus steps into the temple. I want you to know that Jesus represented prayer coming back
yes,
into the temple.
That's right.
Jesus represents prayer coming back into the church. Jesus represents prayer coming back into the Christian.
Yeah.
So Jesus represented the spirit of prayer. And what does the spirit of prayer do? The spirit of prayer went into the temple and begins to make a whip drive out all those that were exchanging money and selling oxen and selling sheep and flipping over tables. Listen, you don't want to hear about that Jesus.
Come on.
Oh, no, my Jesus is a merciful Jesus.
Wow.
Oh, he doesn't preach hard. No, he whips hard.
Come on now.
He puts that whip on you. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Huh? See, that's what Jesus did. The spirit of prayer drives out bad fruit. Jesus was driving out all the bad fruit from the temple. He started to drive out all wickedness and impurity, and he cleansed the house.
Ooh, come on.
That's good. That's good, amen.
See, when you pray, you invite Jesus into your temple. And Jesus begins to clean house. He begins to drive out all the wickedness, all the impurities. That's what happens when we pray. Our house, our temple. The Bible says, do you not know that ye are the temple of the living God? If any man destroys this temple, God will destroy him. Don't destroy your temple with alcohol or drugs or abusing your body, my friend. But be a blessing to your temple. Your body don't even belong to you. It belongs to God. Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and everything that is in it. That means your own body don't belong to you. It belongs to God. So take care of God's property. Are you down with God's property? Take care of God's property. Don't be spray painting on God's property, getting all them tattoos. Come on, somebody. If God wanted a mark on your body, you would have been born with a mark on your body. The only mark he wanted on your body was your birthmark. Are you tattoo lovers? I know this is a little hard. You're going to click off. You're going to get mad at me. You're going to text me all mad later on. But I'm going to preach the truth.
Amen.
The Bible says, do not cut yourself. Oh, that's the Old Testament, Pastor.
Come on,
somebody. We need to know the truth of God's word. I'm not saying you're going to go to hell. You're not going to go to hell. You know? That's between you and God. You're going to have to stand before God. Some of you are going to show up and God's going to be like, you're going to show up, God ain't, you know, some of you, you're not careful. You're going to show up, God ain't even going to recognize you. I didn't make you with that on you. Come on, somebody. I better behave. This is about prayer, amen. This is about prayer. And if you already got a tattoo, you don't got to take it off, amen. Not unless you're a guy and you got like a girl's, you know, body parts on you. You might have to put a dress on it, amen. You might have to put a blouse on it, amen. You know, we'll pray about that one, amen. Because then you don't want to be a walking Playboy book to somebody.
Wow, come on.
Isn't that too hard for you? I hope it ain't a little too hard for you. Wow. Isn't this victory? Are we still victory outreach? Are we still the old baby? We're still reaching the treasures out of darkness. We're still reaching the drug addicts and the gang members. That's who God called us to be. That's our identity. And we're proud of it because we believe in the miracle working power of God to change a gang member like me and to turn him into a man of God. And we may come in with the scars of this world, but God is able to turn our life around and we're no longer the same person because God changed our life.
Preach.
But it comes through prayer, my friend. Prayer. Prayer begins to cleanse our house. Mm-hmm. And Jesus begins to delight in a house of prayer.
Come on.
Huh? Begins to delight in a house of prayer. If God's house is called a house of prayer, number two, the second reason why we should pray is this. Because if God's house is called a house of prayer, if God's house is called a house of prayer, then I want my house to be called a house of prayer.
Yes.
And not just the temple of God. Not just the body. I know that, listen, I pray. I'm not sitting here saying I'm some type of prayer giant. I don't claim to be a prayer giant and a prayer warrior. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Some of you are, amen. I struggle in prayer. Come on. I've fallen asleep in prayer. Not in a long time. Amen. When I was younger in the Lord. Hello, somebody. I get up sometimes and say, man, I don't want to pray. Come on now. The spirit of the Python spirit tries to creep up on me. Come on. Be real. Shame the devil.
Come on.
Come on now. I'm in prayer sometimes and I'm just being repetitious. Just saying the same thing. It seems like religious. I'm not no prayer warrior, but I know one thing. I know I can say this, that this temple that God has given me is a house of prayer.
Amen.
I do pray every morning. I do get up and pray. I do pray every day. I don't go a day without prayer. I don't go a day, and that's the God honest truth. I don't go a day without prayer. Even when I skip out on prayer sometimes. Sometimes I say, you know, I'm gonna like I used to skip school. Like you used to skip school. Come on now. You run out the door because you're late for a meeting and you skip out on prayer. But even then, I still pray. Oh, Lord, be with me today. Oh, I need you to carry me. And then if you don't pray, you're going to get in the flesh.
Yeah.
So if you don't pray and you get in the flesh, somewhere along there, if you're a good Christian, you're going to pray.
Yes.
When you get into the flesh, you know you're in the flesh. You know you're in the flesh.
Yes.
And you know what happens? You're like, oh, Lord, forgive me for being in the flesh. Forgive me for saying that. Forgive me for being like that. Forgive me for thinking like that. Mm-hmm. I pray.
Yeah, that's true.
But listen, I don't skip a lot of days of prayer. Don't think, don't miss call. I don't. I pray every day. I pray. I seek the face of God.
Amen.
Amen.
I pray. But listen, not only do I want this temple to be a place of prayer, I want my house. This house.
Yes, yes.
I'm in my house right now. We're having church in my house. We the social distancing, you know, we said we'll just have a house. I got a team right here in my house. We can have services from my house and keep everybody safe. I did that for the care of the media team and the worship team. I care for them. I don't want to expose anybody to anything they don't need to be exposed to.
Come on now.
See? But listen, my house before that has been a house of prayer. Huh? Every Christian should want prayer in their house.
Yes, yes.
There are some houses that don't have prayer.
Wow.
I remember when I wasn't saved, there wasn't prayer in my house. The only prayer that was in my house was when I would stay up late all night long. I would be going out as a teenager, and I wouldn't come home till 3, 4, 5, 6 in the morning. Mm. But you know who would be up? Mama. And a lot of times I'd creep in, I'd like trying to sneak in the house. She would be sitting on the couch with her Bible and her rosary. She was a Catholic, so she prayed Catholic prayers. But she was praying. Come on, somebody. Do I believe her prayers worked? Yeah, I believe her prayers worked. Come on, Catholics are Christian too. Huh? They may have some misconceptions, and they have, they don't believe the way we believe, and they have some error in their doctrine, but they believe in Jesus. There's some Catholics that are renouncing the Virgin Mary, that are being baptized with the Holy Spirit. There's revival taking place in the Catholic Church. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters that are Catholic.
Yes.
But listen, that's the only prayer that took place. But God wants our house. If God's house should be called a house of prayer, I want my house to be really called a house of prayer as well. Yes. That there's just not a prayer goes on when something bad happens or there's only prayer. Listen, being a house of prayer is being where there's prayer going on in the good times and in the bad times.
Yeah.
When there's a pandemic and when there's peace.
Yes.
When there's a crisis and when there's good times. Prayer goes on, whether it's a good day or it's a bad day. That's how you build a house of prayer. That's how you become a person of prayer. You pray in the good times and you pray in the bad times. In the good times, you thank God for the good times. And you pray it gets better. And in the bad times, you pray for better times. Yes, listen, that's how you build a house of prayer. We can't just be up and down Christians all the time. Our prayer life must be consistent.
Yes.
Every household leader, every parent, every mom and dad should lead their house to prayer. And ensure that prayer, check this out, is not the spare tire.
Oh, wow.
You only bring out the spare tire when you got a flat tire. You only bring out the spare tire when there's an emergency. There's too many Christians that only bring out prayer in an emergency.
Come on.
Don't let prayer be the spare tire. Let it be your steering wheel.
Come on.
Sheesh.
You use that steering wheel all the time, my friend. Whether you got a flat tire or you got all brand new tires, that steering wheel is always being used. And that's how prayer needs to be.
Yes.
That's how prayer needs to be, my friend. In other words, leaders of households, they should make sure that there is prayer going on in that house. That if you're a leader in your house, that you make sure that 8 p.m. prayer, the prayer chain is being prayed in.
Yes.
The prayer, come on, we've been challenged from Sister Judy and Victory Outreach International to pray at 8 p.m. every day till May 18th against this pandemic, against this virus.
Amen.
We've been challenged to pray. It's been a 30-day prayer chain. We're halfway through it.
Come on.
But some of you probably haven't been praying at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. From 8 to 9, God called us to pray. And at 9 o'clock, it passes on to another region, to another church, and they are called to be faithful in their prayer. And make sure that we don't break the prayer chain in this way for 30 days. There's prayer going on 24/7 for 30 days all over the world. It's called a prayer chain, my friend. And as a leader of your house, you should say at 7:30, at 7:45, honey, it's getting close to prayer time. Son, it's getting close to prayer time. Mom, dad, it's getting close to prayer time. It's prayer just like this. Every leader should make sure that prayer goes on in the morning at their house.
Yes.
This is what being a real Christian is. Being a real Christian is being a man and a woman of prayer. And I'm not just talking about popcorn prayers.
Come on.
They're just popcorn prayers. No, my friend, I'm talking about really getting down on your knees and spending some time with God. Having some conversations, letting God speak to your life, talking to God, giving Him your problems, giving Him your worries, speaking the Word of God through prayer.
Yes. Amen.
My house is not just a quarantine house.
Okay.
My house is just not a comfortable place.
Oh, no.
But it's a house of prayer. My house is a war room. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
We are at war right now. The president said we're at war against this virus. When I heard that, I didn't run to the barracks. I didn't run and go hide. No, my friend. I said, that means that our house is going to turn into a war room.
Yes.
Come on. That prayer closet is not a war room. We're fighting an unseen battle, my friend. We walk by faith and not by sight, my friend. We're fighting an unseen battle right now. Isn't that so true? Even for every preacher out there, we may not be able to see our people, but we know that there's people watching. Listen, we're preaching by faith, my friend, and it's the same way every Christian should pray. You may not see the results. You may not see that prayer answered. Oh, but you gotta pray by faith. It's not walk by faith. You can change it to say pray by faith, my friend. Even though you don't see it, you pray for it. Even though you don't see it, you still press in and cry out to God. Even though you don't see that healing, you still pray for that healing. Even though you don't see that breakthrough, you still pray for that breakthrough.
That's right.
My God, I'm preaching, ain't nobody shouting in this place.
Yes.
Gotta pray.
Yes.
My house ain't just a comfortable house, it's a war room.
Come on.
Your house should be a war room, a place where you make war on the floor.
Yes.
If you're new to Christ in prayer, if you're new to Christ, that means you're new to prayer. Then you got to start by adding prayer. Just start by adding prayer to your meals.
Mm.
Yeah. I remember becoming a new Christian. Yeah. I didn't know how to pray. Some of you listening to this and you're like, I don't know how to pray. Listen, just start by praying for your meals.
Yeah.
Then from there, go to praying in the mornings for at least 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, turn off your phone, turn off the TV, lock yourself in your room. Huh? You don't need no prayer. You don't even need no prayer music, Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we're like, I need prayer music. No, you don't need no prayer music. Jesus didn't have prayer music. It's prayer music where the birds chirping in the air.
Ooh.
Come on. Come on, somebody.
That's right.
His prayer music where the cricketing in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? And you just need to start by praying in the mornings for 15 minutes if you're a new Christian. And if maybe you're a Christian, but you still don't pray. There's people that you still don't pray. You need to make it a priority to get up early and pray in these 15 minutes. Let that 15 minutes turn to 30 minutes and work your way up to a whole hour.
Yes.
And you know that if you got to go to work at 8 in the morning, that means, yes, you got to get up at probably 6 in the morning so that you can wash your face, brush your teeth, get your cup of coffee. I don't drink coffee, false anointing for me, but hey, whatever floats your boat, amen, get your cup of coffee and pray from 6:30 to 7:30 and get out the door to make it on time early. I guarantee you'll feel a lot better. You'll have a better day. You'll have peace. You'll have the fruits of the Spirit. You're going to be a better employee to your job. You might even get a raise, and that's credited to prayer. Why? Because you're a changed man. Because prayer changes you. Prayer doesn't change things. Prayer changes you so that you can change things around you. So start off, if you're new to prayer, by praying 15 minutes. Work your way up to 30 minutes. Work your way up to an hour. Keep a spirit of prayer in your house. You know how you keep a spirit of prayer in your house? What you should do is you should keep worship music on all the time.
Yes.
Keep worship music on all the time in your house. Play worship music throughout the day. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Turn off the Netflix. Turn off the TV and put worship music. Or if you're not, I'm not saying not to. You can watch your TV. Watch all that. But listen, when you're not, leave the worship music on.
Amen.
Leave the worship music on, my friend. Leave it on. You know, and you know what happens when if you leave the house with worship music playing, leave it with the Christian channel on, my friend. You never know if somebody decides to break into your house, the Holy Spirit will convict them. But leave worship music on in your house at all times. This will keep evil spirits away from your home.
That's right.
Because demons hate worship unto God.
Wow.
You feel you wonder why sometimes you feel a spirit of heaviness and depression and lack of joy because there's no evil spirits, dark spirits.
My God.
Oh, but when you keep that prayer music on.
Yes.
And you mix it in with some prayer, and you begin to make war on the floor. You begin to make war in the heavenlies. You begin to speak the word of God over your home. Plead the blood of Jesus over your house. Pray Psalms 91 over your house. Pray Psalms 23 over your house. You begin to quote scripture in your house. You let the word of God loose, my friend. Devils, they don't like the word of God. They tremble at the word of God. They tremble in the presence of worship. Keep a spirit of prayer by keeping music, worship music on at all times in your home. See, when we don't pray, number three, the third reason why we need to pray is because when we don't pray is when we end up robbing God. Mm. When we don't pray, we end up robbing God. This verse in the Bible that we read, when Jesus began to drive out all those that were selling sheep and selling doves, and he was driving out all these out of the temple that were selling things in his house. Listen, it doesn't mean that the church can't sell a plate of food or a church hat or a church shirt or even pick up tithes and offerings. When you study the context, these people were selling for their own benefit and not for the temple or for the cause of God.
Wow.
But for the cause of making their own pockets fat.
Wow.
They were taking advantage of the situation and of God's people they were taking advantage of. Pastors and churches or leaders that line their own pockets, it's because of a lack of real prayer in their life.
Yeah, that's right.
And they have no conviction. Listen, when we don't pray, we end up robbing God.
Wow.
That's what was happening in the temple. There was no prayer, so everybody was robbing God.
That's right.
They were spending more on the sacrifice. They were giving more for that. They were paying more for the sheep than putting money in the offering.
Wow. Come on.
Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Yeah. It's like some of you come in into the church with a $100, $200 shirt, suit.
Wow.
Sheesh.
$300, $400 purse.
Wow.
Sheesh.
$200 hairdo.
My God.
Oh, come on.
Huh? When's the last time you put that in the offering plate?
Well, come on.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Ooh,
I'm bowling down your alley. Wow. If you can't say amen, say ouch.
Ouch. Ooh,
come on. I'm not saying you can't have $100. I'm not saying you can't have that, my friend. Come on, somebody. I like to have nice things. God has given me nice things.
Yes.
But I've put more than $100 in the offering plates.
Come on,
I've put thousands upon thousands of dollars in the offering, the tithe, my friends. Because I don't want to rob God.
Mm.
When you don't pray, you end up robbing God.
That's right.
That's what's happening. Listen, you can't really pray and be in God's presence and still remain in your old ways.
Wow. Yeah.
You can't really pray. You can't really say you're in the presence of God and still remain and still be that old greedy, stingy, tight, squeak when you walk person.
Mm, yeah.
Huh? You can't.
No.
See, Christians that pray are Christians that tithe and don't rob God.
That's right.
Let me say that again. Christians that pray are Christians that tithe and don't rob God. Because prayer, you know what prayer does? Prayer produces integrity.
Amen.
Mm.
And a tither is faithful in tithing. Why? Because they have integrity before God.
That's true.
Nobody has to remind them. They don't need a cheerleader to come up every Sunday. Remember to pay your tithes. They paid their tithes before the minister went up there to pick up the tithes and offerings.
Come on.
As soon as they hit their account, they're like, I gotta pay my tithes.
Amen.
Why? Because they have integrity. Because they're a person of prayer. They say, oh, my pastor may not know, the leader may not know, but God knows. And so therefore I need to have integrity.
Yes.
Amen.
and I need to pay my tithes. Mm-hmm. You know, once, you know what happened? Once we stopped, you know, remember we stopped going to the church building, right? Mm-hmm. Once we stopped going to the building to have our services, you know, I tip my hat off to my church because many of you, you kept on tithing.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
You kept on tithing. Even though we stopped coming to the church, that was like a fear for pastors, you know? It's like, man, they don't let us have services in the building. Oh, my God, man, you know, now what are we going to do? You know, we start thinking about, oh, man, the giving's going to go down. But you know what? In a lot of ways, it's kind of gone up. Huh? You know why? Because we're a giving church.
Yes.
You know why? Because we are praying people. Yes. We believe in prayer. We preach messages like this, and we just don't preach it. We live it, my friend.
Yes.
When we were there, when we had our building, we had this service. We came an hour early for prayer. We had all-night prayer meetings, and that's what you have been learning. And I hope that you don't stop praying. If you have, this message should remind you that you need to get back into that prayer closet. You need to get back that hour of power. You need to get back to fasting. You need to get back to being in the presence of Jesus.
Amen.
And pray. Many of you continue to tithe. Why? Because of your integrity. But there were some who lacked integrity and stopped tithing.
Yeah.
There were some people, not in my church and other churches, not here, not you that are watching.
Oh, come on.
Well, come on somebody, right? There were some who stopped tithing. They said, oh, well, we're not going to the building no more, so I don't have to bring my tithe into the storehouse.
Mm.
No, my friend, you can still text in your tithe.
Right.
You can still tithe in the website through the BOGP.org. You can still mail it in if you have to. There's no excuses why you should stop tithing.
Amen.
Listen, prayer. Listen, if we don't pray, it causes us to rob God. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, 9, and 10, it's clear as day. It says, will a man rob God? God answers it, yet you have robbed me.
Wow.
Man says, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Listen, we're already in a crisis. You don't need to be in a curse.
Oh, hello.
Come on, somebody. Sheesh. You're already facing a crisis. Why put yourself under a curse? I'll answer that question. The reason why is because you probably stopped praying. You started to start praying. And you say, no, I pray. Yeah, but you're not listening to the voice of God. Because the voice of God will tell you, remember to pay your tithes.
Yeah. Sure will.
Remember to give your offerings.
Sure will.
Come on, somebody. If you can't say amen, say ouch. Huh? Listen, we got a faithful tither. Despite hard times, is a man and a woman of integrity. Listen, if you haven't been tithing during this crisis, you need to start tithing. First of all, you need to get back into prayer, and you need to get back to tithing.
Yes.
Because when we don't pray, just like it happened in the temple, we begin to rob God. That was happening. That's what Jesus came and that's when he made that whip, and he began to drive out all those that were exchanging money. Why? Because they were making it a den of robbers. You have turned my house into a den of robbers, he said.
Yes.
And instead, it should be a house of prayer. Too many people, they rob God in the area of prayer. This is why Jesus told the disciples, could you not pray with me for 1 hour? For 1 hour.
That's right.
He said that in Matthew 26:40. They were robbing God. They were robbing God of prayer. They couldn't even pray for 1 hour. We say, well, an hour, Pastor, that's a long time to pray. I was cool with 15 minutes. I thought you were going to stop there, but then you bumped it up to 30 minutes. And then to an hour. My God. Listen. Jesus said, could you not even pray now? Listen, is he not that important to you?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Do you not love him that much that you spend 2-3 hours in a movie theater?
Mm-hmm.
In front of the TV watching a movie. You spend more time on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Sheesh, come on.
My God. Mm-hmm. Can you not just spend an hour with God?
That's right.
Huh? An hour with God, Matthew 26:40. Listen, don't rob God of his time with you. Every morning or day, seek the face of God daily. Don't give your time to everything else but not God.
Amen.
Make praying to God your priority. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to see that God makes you more of a priority.
Wow, yes.
Huh? You're going to see, if you make God a priority through prayer, You're going to see God make you more of a priority, and you're going to see his favor upon your life. Yes. It's called favor. You want to know when God makes you a priority? It's called favor. Come on, somebody. This is where the whole saying comes from. Favor ain't fair. But people that have favor, people that have the favor of God upon them, is because they are people of prayer. That's a man of prayer. That's a woman of prayer. Yes. You wonder why they got blessed. You wonder why they got married. Because they're a man of prayer. You wonder why Pastor Josh, he came in as a single man. Come on, somebody. He came in all messed up, but he got and found his wife. He found his wife in the church, in the house of God, a woman of God. Why? The Bible says any man who finds a wife finds favor from the Lord. Yeah. Why? Because he was a man of prayer. You wonder why I got married so young. Well, I wasn't that young, but I got married. Come on, somebody. 27 years old. I came into Christ at 20 years old. And then at 27 years old, God brought me my faithful young wife. I got me a young one. Hello, somebody. Why? Because I was a man of prayer.
Yeah.
Some of you singles, you're so quick to want to get hitched.
My God.
Pray. Yes. Pray. Because if not, you're going to get hitched to the wrong one.
Oh,
you're going to get hitched to old ugly duckling. Broke joke. Scary. I'm not planning to mention no names. Huh? You got to pray. Pray. You'll get favor. And God will bring you a good juicy rib, man of God. God will bring you a man of God that got to J-O-B. That's a man of prayer. A man who is faithful. If he can be faithful to prayer, guess what? He'll be faithful to you. My wife didn't marry me because of my looks. She married me because I was faithful in prayer.
Come on.
Say amen, honey.
Amen.
No, I was good. I can't be too bad. You know, I got God confidence. Huh? Call Faye. She gets mad when I say that. She's like, you make it seem like you're just ugly and like I don't have no taste. She gonna preach next Sunday, amen, so she'll be able to give me back. The last thing, number four, last thing. Prayer, the reason why we gotta pray is because prayer brings the supernatural intervention of God.
Yes, amen.
Come on, Jesus. Prayer brings the supernatural intervention. Don't log out. You better not log out. We're not finished.
Come on now.
Stay there. Number one, number four, the last one. Prayer brings the supernatural intervention of God. You know what that is? Miracles.
That's good.
Miracles.
Yes.
Why do we need to pray? Because we need miracles.
Yes, that's right.
We need to see miracles.
Yes, yes.
See, a miracle is when God's super touches our natural.
Yes.
And it causes the supernatural to take place. That's what happens. That's what a miracle is. That's why we need to pray. Because when we pray, God's super touches our natural and causes the supernatural miracles to take place.
Amen.
Huh? Listen, the disciples couldn't believe their eyes the next day or when they came back out of the... Remember, Jesus had cursed the fig tree. He seen the fig tree. He wanted some figs. He was hungry. He did not find no figs. He cursed it. That's a testament to the power of your words. Quit being negative. Quit speaking worldly things. Start speaking the power of the word of God over your life and your situation.
Yes.
Jesus, he looked at that when there was no figs on that fig tree. He cursed it. He said, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. Then he took off. He went to the temple. And he dealt with the people in the temple over there. He came back. Peter, he seen the fig tree from afar off. And he said, hey, look, guys. Look. Before that, the day before that fig tree was growing, was big. It looked like it was healthy. It's like reminds me of some Christians. They looked the part. When you begin to pull back the covers, there's really nothing there. But the next day when Peter seen it, he seen the fig tree withered from the root, the Bible says. Withered all the way down to the root. In other words, it was destroyed. It was. Have you ever seen a withered plant? A withered tree? It's dead. Peter looked. He couldn't believe his eyes. He said, look, master, teacher, look. The tree that you cursed is withered now. Jesus wasn't surprised. You know why? Because he believes in miracles. You know why? Because he's a man of prayer.
That's right.
Sometimes the church gets surprised at miracles. We don't need to get surprised if we're people of prayer.
That's right.
If God does some things, I knew God was going to do it because God, that's my God. I know God's going to heal because that's my God. I know God, that's my God. That's my God who he is. Huh? And the disciples, they could not believe their eyes. Listen, you may say, I haven't seen miracles. Maybe it's because you haven't been praying. If you want to see more miracles, speak more prayers. If you want to see more miracles, you need to speak more prayers.
Good, Pastor. It's good.
Let me get that in your spirit.
It's good.
If you want to see more miracles, you need to speak more prayers.
It's good.
You need to pray for more people. Pray for more people to get saved. Pray for more people to be healed.
Yes.
Pray for more people to get blessed.
Yeah.
Pray for more blessings. Pray for God to use you more. And when God does use you, and when those people do get saved, you're going to say, oh, wow, man, God answered my prayer. He saved them. God answered my prayer. He blessed them. God answered my prayer. He healed them. God answered my prayer. He used me. You'll see more miracles when you say more prayers.
Good.
Listen. God may not always answer all our prayers the way we want him to answer them. Huh? But listen, if you pray, your chances grow. If you pray 1,000 times, your chances are more, come on somebody, that you're going to get more results. It's like they're testing for this virus, right? They see the numbers going up. They say in Dallas, the numbers are going, they're the highest. Well, because they've been testing more. But listen, let your numbers of prayers go higher.
Come on,
because you're praying more.
Yes.
Oh, you ain't hearing me. Come on, somebody.
Right.
Huh? You want to see more miracles? Pray more prayers.
Amen, yes. Amen.
How many of you that are watching could use a supernatural intervention of God?
Yes.
How many of you could use more miracles in your life? How many of you can use some prayer here this morning? I want you to send in your prayer request. We're going to pray for you this morning. As I close this message, I want to pray for you. My house shall be called a house of prayer. We want to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God will do a miracle in your life. Those of you that are maybe sick in body, you have a headache, you probably have allergies. Listen, you know, if you have allergies, go pop a Claritin. Come on, somebody. Guess what? God used that pill to heal you. God used doctors. And if you don't listen, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. God, the allergies, that headache, that coronavirus. Come on. That coronavirus doesn't stand a chance before God.
Come on.
And then, yes, people have passed away and people have gotten sick. They've been hospitalized. Yes, yes, yes. We don't take nothing away. It is real. We don't minimize. I'm not minimizing anything like that, my friend. But if you're a Christian, you're a believer. You have power.
That's right.
You have power living inside of you, my friend. You have the power of God. You can speak. You have the power to speak the word over your life. You have power to receive the word over your life. And that's what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to begin to pray. And I'm going to pray for you. Some of you sending in your request. I want to pray. We're going to pray for Billy's family. Billy comes to our church. He's a new person. He's a new member. He's been coming to our church. He has a few family that's been sick. We're going to pray for their healing. Right now, in Jesus' name, Father, right now we pray for Billy's family. Right now we pray healing over the coronavirus, Lord. Right now we pray healing, Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord. We pray healing over cancer, over diabetes, over high blood pressure. For those that are watching, those that have headaches and high blood pressure right now, God, we pray healing upon their body, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Right now, God, we pray, God, for Sabra's mom, God, in the name of Jesus, her mother-in-law, to be healed from cancer right now. Cancer, right now, we command you to flee from Sabra's mother-in-law in Jesus' name. And we pray healing in Jesus' name in her life right now in Jesus' name, Father. Lord, right now, Lord, we pray, God, Lord, for all those that are watching, all the new people, all those that have been invited, Father God. Lord, we pray for healing in their life, Father God, in Jesus' name, Father. And she, come on, if you need a miracle, begin to lift your hands right there where you're at. You can write it in the comment bar if you want. But right now, if you need a miracle, you know something. somebody that needs a miracle. You know what? You can stand instead of them. You can stand in proxy for them. And you just lift your hands right there where you're at. We're going to pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for a miracle in their life, a financial breakthrough. I pray for a healing. I pray for salvation. I pray for marriages, God, that have been on the verge of falling apart. I pray that you would mend broken hearts. I pray for, Lord, for teenagers, for parents that have teenagers and children that are not saved. They're praying for their salvation. For those that have family members in prison and in jail, Lord, we pray, Lord, for a miracle in their life, that you would protect them, that you would keep them safe, Lord God. Touch them, I pray, Father. Lord, we pray right now, Father God. Lord, we pray for Yvonne, for her mom and her brother to be healed in Jesus' name. Right now, we speak healing in Yvonne's family. In the mighty name of Jesus, we speak healing upon all flesh. We pray right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. Lord, we come in agreement. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Come on, receive your breakthrough. Receive your healing. Receive that prayer. God has called us to be the head and not the tail, above and not on bottom. God has called you to be the leader of your house. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a